Welcome to the Heart Journey podcast show. We are in a series from codependence to Christ dependence, and I have so much important and juicy and helpful information to share with you today. Today is episode 6 of our series, and we are not even halfway through. Today, we're going to talk about embodied redemption, healing the attachment wounds beneath codependency. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Losove. I come to you as a minister because I'm coming to you exclusively from my worldview, which is the Christian worldview. Christianity has a psychology that goes back many millennia, and that is where we're coming from. We're also looking at where the science intersects with Christianity and Jesus healing the broken heart. I also happen to be a psychologist. So we're looking at where faith encounters psychology. Let's start with Psalm 131, the weaned child with her mother. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Psalm 131, 2. This is one of the most embodied images of healing in all of Scripture. The weaned child is no longer frantic, no longer fighting for survival. She isn't clinging out of fear. She isn't thirsting and hungering and wondering if her needs will be met. This child, he or she, is resting out of trust. And it's full body trust. In fact, children are born helpless as far as being able to walk. Horses are born, they can walk. Children are born and they have to be held. And there's a deep abiding trust. So this child's, his or her breath slows, his or her muscles softened, her little body melts into safety. And this is what healing feels like. This is what your nervous system does in the presence of God. And this is where the Lord wants to take you. This is where Jesus lived, and this is where he is calling us to live in this world. As he lives in this world, so do we. Welcome to episode 6. Let's also think about a few more scriptures. Isaiah 66:12 through 13, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Psalm 23:2 through 3, he makes me lie down, he restores my soul. So here we see that vagal settling, trust, and imagery of pure attachment and safety. Zephaniah 3:17, this is direct nervous system language. He quiets you with his love. What does he quiet? Your nervous system. Your nervous system. All right, let's recap episodes 1 through 5 that we've already been through very quickly. Episode 1, are you loving or losing yourself? We talked about where the story began. We went back to Eden and we looked at how fear and control fractured our original dependence upon God. We met Jesus as the true vine, who restores what fear broke. And we named codependence as misplaced worship. It's a worship disorder. You were never meant to be your own source. In episode 2, the cross and the cure, we discovered where striving ends at the resurrection. The cross ended your pretending. The resurrection began your rest. And we looked at resting from old patterns of trying to strive for love. And I told you a little bit of about my story. In episode 3, we looked at resurrection and rest, where rest becomes strength. And we talked about anxiety being your signal of surrender. And that we learned that we needed to lay down our will in regarding self-protection in unhealthy ways and in ways that are willful toward the Lord. We let Jesus overwrite old family rules of silent shame and self-erasure. Your peace is your power. It's where resurrection lives in your body and in your life. In that place of peace is that resurrection power. And there we did the encounter with Abba's hand in the dark. Episode 4 was about boundaries and belonging. And we talked about where peace finds a voice. And we talked about every holy yes grows peace and every holy no grows freedom. And we talked about centering and aligning your holy inner yes with your outer yes and your inner no with your outer no. And we learned that boundaries are not rejection, they're restoration when done unto the Lord. In episode 5, we talked about embodied boundaries when your body remembers safety. And we talked about how your body remembers the story, that we talked about some body memories. I want you to remember that your body is not rebellious. Your body has been trying to protect you until the love of God is absorbed, where you can say, I am safe now. We explored that our bodies carry stories long before we have words. We name false guilt, spiritual performance, chronic overfunctioning. And we talked about healing through God's presence and healing the little one inside. And that brings us to this episode, episode 6. This is where we move from insight in our brains to more embodiment in our being, where we can understand safety from an embodied place to actually feel safe in your body with Jesus and have safe attachment. Revelation heals your mind, but embodiment rewires your life. All right, let me give you an example of something we're going to refer to from physics called resonance or entrainment. So this is kind of like what part of what healing can look like and how we can attune to safe attachment with the Lord and what unsafe attachment looks like. Okay, so imagine that you place 12 or a dozen metronomes on the same table and you start them at different tempos. At first, it sounds completely chaotic, but do you know what happens? Within a few minutes, they start syncing up and ticking together. This is called resonance or entrainment. Their rhythm changes because they share the same bass and the rhythms want to sync. Things move towards synchronicity, and your nervous system does the same thing. This is part of therapy. When you sit with a safe person or when you sit with Jesus and breathe slowly, your heart rate, your breath, even your muscles, your face, your prosody begin to resonate with his peace. And this is how co-regulation works. So let's talk about resonance a little bit more. So resonance happens when two objects naturally vibrate at the same frequency because they share the same natural frequency. And so what is entrainment? Entrainment is when two separate rhythms begin syncing up when they share a common environment. So we talked about the metronomes. Also, a choir breathes together and their heartbeats literally synchronize. Babies regulate their heartbeat by resting on their mother's breast. That brings us back to Psalm 131. Soldiers march in step. Women who live together sync their monthly cycles. These things happen because systems tend toward synchronicity. Shared environments create shared patterns, and lower energy or unstable systems fall into sync with a more stable pattern. Biological organisms regulate through co-regulation, and chaos resolves into coherence when a stronger rhythm is set. So think about Jesus. Think about the Lord. He has the greatest vibration in all the universe. So also a nervous system in distress can automatically sync with a calmer system in the room. And a chaotic nervous system, if it has enough power, can throw off the whole room into dysregulation. So we entrain to tone, breath, pace, emotional posture. And this is physics and biology. It's actually not just psychology. So let's think about codependency, because codependency is unhealthy emotional and behavioral entrainment. It's when we sink to someone else's moods, their anger, their disappointment, their addictions, their chaos. Sometimes we sink to the chaos in the dysfunctional home growing up, and now we have this internal chaos that we are in tune to, and so we are trying to control externally to try to deal with the internal chaos. But to heal the internal chaos from our childhoods, we have to sink to the peace of Jesus. Codependency is when we sink to someone else's emotional temperature. And for us as children, it was survival-based entrainment. It wasn't sin. It was survival-based entrainment. As a child, we learned, if mom's upset, I'm unsafe. If dad's angry, I must calm him. If someone is disappointed in me, I lose connection. It's like a tuning fork. They vibrated fear, you vibrated fear. They vibrated chaos, you vibrated chaos. They vibrated shame, you vibrated shame. This also has to do with the triangle of pain. Someone persecutes you, so you vibrate with that. Then you feel shame, and so then you begin to caretake, and it's this cycle of unhealthy entrainment. This morning, I interrupted Tim. He got a little frustrated with me about that. But I interrupted him because I didn't feel like he was attuning to me. Anyway, it was a very brief and very small, but then he was frustrated. He's like, never mind, I shouldn't be giving advice anyway. And I remember thinking, I can't attune with that. I have to attune with Jesus. I need to let him be angry and let it be okay. And I don't need to feel like I'm bad and have done something wrong. I shouldn't have interrupted him, but it's okay. So we have to attune with the Father, with the Spirit. Codependency is entrainment to people's emotions. Healing is entrainment to God's peace. Your nervous system will always sink to the strongest presence in the room. Choose Jesus. Imagine when you walk into the room, you walk in with this giant lion that's around you and all over the place. Entrain with Jesus. Whatever you behold, beloved, you become aligned with. Whichever presence you stay closest to becomes your internal rhythm. And we have to really watch for worry and hurry. I've been noticing that as a visionary, my mind can get very busy. I have a lot of to-dos. And I personally think I've not been taking enough time to listen to the Father lately for myself. And I need to do tea time with Tim a couple times this week, because that really helps me. So as a child, that was maybe your traumatized parent. As an adult, that might be your unsafe partner. In codependency, that might be the anxiety or the addiction of the other person. But in healing, you begin entraining to Jesus instead of people's emotions. This is healing life and peace. This is secure attachment to the Father. In fact, he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace. Waves synchronize their patterns. Metronomes on a shared platform begin ticking in unison. Heartbeats sync in choirs. A smaller, less stable rhythm comes into sync with a larger, steadier rhythm. What does this mean, beloved? This means God's peace is the strongest frequency in the universe. It is stable. It is slow. It is steady. It is unchanging. It is coherent. It is not anxious. It is infinite. It is unafraid. It is safe. It is attuned. And your nervous system is adaptive, easily dysregulated, anxious, reactive, chaotic under trauma. So scientifically, our smaller chaotic system naturally entrains to the larger stable system when you come into proximity. This is why in Heart Journey, we spend so much time in the presence of the Lord. This is why we pray. This is why we wait on the Lord. This is why we have encounters with Jesus. This is why breath prayers calm the nervous system. Meditating on scripture slows the heart. Worship regulates the vagus nerve. This is why thinking about God, and neurotheologian Andrew Newberg talks about God changes your brain. Stillness softens hypervigilance. Naming Jesus' presence produces parasympathetic shift. Prayer reduces amygdala activation. This is why the desert mothers and fathers meditated on Jesus, meditated on centering prayer, stayed in the stillness, and stayed in the presence of God. It changed them. Your nervous system literally changes because it is sinking to God's peace. That's why the scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives you. Yes, he's the greater frequency. Perfect love casts out all fear. He restores my soul. In him, we live and move and have our being. Abide in me. So beloved, we're going to be working on creating a more secure attachment to the Lord in this podcast as well as in other podcasts. Neuroscience also supports this. Remember that attachment is embodied, not just emotional. And we're going to talk about the attachment types again, and we're going to talk about how to heal these attachment types with entrainment with the Lord. Remember that that attachment lives in your right brain. Alan Shore's research shows that early attachment literally sculpts the right hemisphere, which is dominant for attachment, affect regulation, and stress modulation. And secure attachment supports right brain development and flexible regulation. Early abuse and neglect are strongly linked with disorganized attachment and later PTSD. But there is a God who lives inside of you if you've received Jesus as your Savior, who is greater than he who is in the world, than anything that is in the world. He can provide that polyvagal safety where our autonomic nervous system, which is always scanning for cues for safety, says Stephen Porges, and we're looking for threat in faces, voices, and bodies. But when we sense the safety of the Lord, when we develop our attunement with the Lord, our awareness of the Lord, when we learn, like Brother Andrew, to practice the presence of the Lord constantly, co-regulating with him, we are changed. We go from glory to glory. This has got to be how Paul endured so much for his sake. And then we integrate that safety into all the parts of our lives. Dan Siegel says, interpersonal neurobiology framework says a healthy mind is one that creates integration. So we don't want this just for now, but we want to integrate Jesus into our past memories, into our bodily sense, into the thoughts we think. We want to bring him back in traumatic memories and let him rewrite those. We want to be integrated with his vibration, his love, his peace. All right, let's talk about the seven attachment styles. We talked about them in the last podcast. And I'm going to give you a little bit more, or actually a lot more for each one of these, because this is where a lot of our issues lie with codependency. But let's look at another picture from physics. So think of an attachment like a planet that's orbiting a star. So the planet is orbiting this star or sun. A secure attachment is like a stable orbit. The planet stays close enough to feel warmth, but free enough to explore. Anxious attachment is like a wobbly orbit, swinging too close and then flinging back out, terrified of drifting away. Avoidant attachment is like orbiting way out on the edge. I'll stay in the same solar system, but I am not getting too close because it is not safe. The only thing that's safe is in me. You're not safe. Disorganized attachment feels like the star itself flickered, sometimes warm, sometimes dangerous, so the orbit becomes chaotic. But the good news is that Jesus can be our gravitational center. He is the strong sun that we are to orbit our lives around. We were never meant to orbit around another human being as our sun, beloved. This creates instant clarity for us because Christ is now our secure base. All right, so let's talk about the seven attachment styles, and we're going to talk about some research and repair using some of these physics principles and this entrainment idea. Okay, so let's start out with anxious or preoccupied attachment. The core theme here is don't leave me. Here you feel like there's no good in you, but the good's in other people and you need to get it. But then when they try to meet your needs, it's never quite good enough. It's like, nope, that's not quite good enough. So in anxious, ambivalent attachment, caregivers were inconsistent in your childhood, sometimes responsive, sometimes distant. Children become hypervigilant, clinging and hard to soothe when the caregiver returns. Okay, remember, it's never quite good enough. And as adults, this often becomes hyperactivation of the attachment system, rumination, protest behaviors, which feel anxious but look angry and often overfocus on the relationship. The chest can be tight, shallow upper chest breathing, leaning forward, scanning for micro shifts in tone. So you pursue, you overgive, then you resent, and then you panic at a distance. Often, if you have anxious attachment, you're attracted to avoidant partners. The anxious person pursues, the avoidant person distances, creating a pursue withdrawal cycle. With another anxious partner, your relationship can feel very validating, but then sometimes really intense, dramatic, and fused with lots of reassurance seeking by both of you. And what we want to move to is rewiring earned secure in Christ. So what we can do, here's some solutions for you. Breath prayer. Inhale, you are with me. Exhale, I am safe even when I am alone. Or you can exhale, I am never alone, for you are with me. Work on delaying your protest, especially do not text when you're anxious or angry. Delay what you're going to say by 10 to 20 minutes while co-regulating with Jesus first, thinking about your breath and doing your breath prayers. Work towards honest, non-demanding bids for reassurance that aren't manipulative. Like, I'm feeling activated and could use some gentle reassurance. It's okay to ask for what you need. All right, now, if you're dismissive or avoidant, the core theme is I'm safer alone. In other words, there's no good out there in you. And even though I'm lonely, I'm the only one I trust. Avoidant dismissing attachment is often rooted in caregivers who discourage emotion and reward self-sufficiency. The child learns to down-regulate attachment needs, appearing independent but feeling chronically alone on the inside. Here we get a lot of frozen shoulders, minimal facial movement, low awareness of hunger, tension, numb. You appear competent and numb, but inside you feel very lonely. And you tend to distance yourself when there's conflict rather than working it out. And there can be, I need to get away from you, you're not safe, rather than addressing the problem. So codependence can look like functional control rather than emotional fusion. I don't need anyone, but everyone should rely on me. and it can be over-responsible for tasks and under-available for feelings. Often the avoidant partner matches with anxious partner. So one clings and the other pulls away. And the more the other person clings, the more you pull away and the more threatened you feel. When two avoidant partners pair, it can look peaceful, but it's emotionally distant. And that doesn't usually work out very well because both are so conflict avoidant and emotion avoidant. Rewiring means becoming earn secure in Christ. So practice a daily receiving practice, 60 seconds of receiving the gaze of Jesus without fixing, without doing, and then 30 seconds of receiving human warmth, a hug, a compliment without deflecting. Meditate on Genesis 2:18. It's not good for God to be, for humans to be alone. And John 15, we are to abide and not just abide in him, but with one another. And think about right brain repair with gentle, sustained, mutually consenting eye contact with safe people for 20 seconds at a time, noticing the urge to look away and inviting Jesus into that micro moment. All right, disorganized, also called fearful avoidant. The core theme here is the one I need is the one who hurts me. Research shows that disorganized attachment emerges when the caregiver is both the source of comfort and fear. So here's where we have abuse, terror, dissociation. The child cannot form a coherent strategy for dealing with attachment-related stress. So there's a lot of freeze and there's push-pull freeze. We have all the survival patterns. This pattern is highly associated with early relational trauma and later PTSD. You have a flip-flop between fight, flight, and freeze and surges of adrenaline followed by numb collapse. And you can have a chronic startle and you can also have chronic dissociation where you go numb and you lose your thought or you can't remember what you did or said. In adult patterns, the push-pull dynamics, you test love through creating chaos, then panic when the other person backs away. You have extreme trauma radar for intensity, and safety feels boring or even suspicious. And you can be drawn to partners or ministries that recreate childhood unpredictability. And you might idealize someone who seems powerful or spiritually intense and then devalue them when disappointment hits. Again, rewiring means moving towards earned secure in Christ. And so here are a couple practices that you can use. Have your feet on the floor and just say to yourself, okay, I'm 35, I'm in my office, the door is closed, and I can leave if I want to. Jesus is here with me. So you're actually grounding and orienting to where you're at and being in the moment. Do your scripture breath prayers, perfect love, cast out fear, while lengthening the exhale. God is in the breath. And do your Emmanuel prayer, picturing Jesus's face steady and kind, not flinching or leaving when you bring him the mess. Now, with all these, you can join Heart Journey if you're, right now we have it for women, but you can go to drbarbaraministries.org/experience. But you can also practice these tools. All right, next is earn secure. You're in recovery. Your core theme is, I wasn't always safe, but I'm safe now and I can repair. So here, you've done a lot of work creating secure attachment with the Lord. You've often had a lot of adverse childhood events, but you've developed coherent, reflective narratives of healing and relationships. And you've let God work within you to become that secure attachment. You're able to be in the moment with the Lord, with others, and with yourself, or you're moving towards that. You can be aware of what's going on in you, around you, and between you and the Lord at the same time. You're more flexible. Your heart rate returns to baseline after stress. Your breathing is fuller. Your posture more fluid. You're adult patterning. You're not perfect, but you're willing to apologize, repair, and keep learning. You're starting to be attracted to safer people, and you're able to hold two truths. My childhood hurt, and I'm not stuck there anymore. And forgiveness is happening towards the ones who hurt you. Secure partners tend to soothe rather than escalate conflict, model repair after rupture, and support their partner's growth. And to continue towards the secure and earn secure in Christ, you want to do things such as a daily gratitude journal and meaning-making journal, especially about the ways God and safe people are showing up for you. I know in my own recovery, I have been able to tune in more and more to the good in life and also even some of the good in my childhood that I didn't see before. Continue to do your quadruple entry heart journey journaling that we've talked about in other episodes. And you can also get this at drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent. Give us your email and we'll give you that tool. Okay, anxious avoidant blend, your hot cold. The core theme here is come close. Oop, not that close. Here, many people show up with mixed patterns depending on context. And Diane Poole Heller notes that attachment styles are layered and can shift between anxious and avoidant defenses depending on context. Let's say you had a real good, you had a real secure attachment to your mom, but a lot of terror with your dad. You might have gender-specific attachment patterns. So you have alternating waves of heat and tension and numbness. Sometimes you're love drunk and sometimes you're emotionally flat. You can pursue and then punish because you want the person, but then you say you're too much, or you can disappear. And there can be drama and instability as substitutes for intimacy. And by the way, with all these types of insecure attachment, 50% of us are insecurely attached roundabout. And with all of these, it's easy to get addictions to cover up the pain that we're feeling. So we're going to do an episode on addictions and codependency coming up soon as well. So you will normally pair with another hot, cold partner. You'll end up in roller coaster relationships where both of you reenact familiar chaos. And if you end up with someone who's secure, you might initially be drawn to their stability, but watch out that you don't sabotage it when it feels too healthy. Again, let's work towards rewiring and earn secure in Christ. Pacing is medicine. Take three slow breaths and check in. What age part is activated? And what does this child part need? And then let Jesus meet the need of that child part before you make any relational move. Use Galatians 5:1 as an anchor. It is for freedom that Christ has set me free, freedom from both clinging and shutting down. And then the trauma-bonded or reactive attachment type. The core theme here is if it doesn't hurt, it's not real love. Here we have a research backdrop of shows that we have chronic childhood trauma, which has trained the nervous system to associate high arousal with attachment. And this is from Vander Kolk's work. Relationships can become both the source of terror and the only source of comfort. Your body has adrenaline spikes, cortisol surges, and then you crash. You may feel restless when things are calm. You can get addicted to intensity. Boredom can feel like abandonment. And repeatedly return to harmful relationships or systems, hoping this time it will heal the original wound. Because you see, we're drawn subconsciously to reworking out our unmet needs from childhood with our partner. So you often bond with controlling, narcissistic, or similarly wounded partners. And the nervous system senses this volatility as home. We want to move towards rewiring, earn secure in Christ. So here it can feel real scary to be alone with God or go in the inside with God, but we want to slowly build capacity. We want to learn to have small fasts from chaos. From chaos, that's right, fast from chaos, intentionally choosing seasons with lower stimulation, fewer crises, less social media, slower schedules, so the body can learn that calm is not abandonment. You can work on some polyvagal informed practices like gentle movement with worship, safe touch, calming music to help shift from fight, flight, and ventral vagal safety. And then pray, you can pray this prayer, Jesus, teach my body that peace is not danger. Peace is your presence. And then there is the disoriented or developmentally arrested, self-detached. The core theme is, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am in this body. Here we have chronic neglect. Emotional parentification and dissociation can lead to self-detachment states and patterns where you live in your head, but you're cut off from your body and signals and needs. So this is, we can see this too in eating disorders. This overlaps with disorganized and dissociation adaptions. So we have out-of-body sensations. It can feel really surreal. Head pressure, difficulty sensing your body cues such as hunger, fatigue, or emotion. You can be hyper spiritual or ministry over embodiment to bypass the pain. You can overfunction for others while ignoring your basic needs for rest, food, medical care. You're great in a crisis, but when the crisis is over, you go numb. You often get involved with relationships or systems that overvalue productivity or performance, very performative, the person becomes the spiritual workhorse. Again, we want to rewire for earned secure in Christ, attuning to Him, grounding in Him. Think about Ezekiel 16, Jesus as the one who finds the abandoned child and says, live. This is theologic language for right brain and body-based reattachment. So we want to move towards rewiring. Let's talk about a couple tools that more tools that we can use to rewire and to feel more embodied. And let's visit with one of our friends here, Gabor Mate, and some of his quotes before I give you a few more tools, because I really like some of the things that he says, and it explains our experiences. He says, when you marry someone, you're going to find both your dreams and your worst nightmares. It's true, right? The person you love is typically your worst nightmare and your life dream at the same time. And if they heal and you heal together, it can become the dream. In Christ, the nightmare side becomes an invitation to healing and repentance, but only where there is safety, truth, and responsibility taking and not spiritualized harm. Okay, so let's tie in Vander Kolk. He says, our attachment bonds are our greatest protection against threat. Nothing soothes our fear like a soothing voice or a solid hug from a trusted person. Beloved, we can receive that from the Lord and from safe others. Without healing, we become each other's worst triggered nightmare. With healing, we become living, breathing evidence of God's secure attachment. His dreams for each other. So again, a couple right brain exercises that we can work through, because remember, when we bring Jesus and research together, right brain to right brain, Shore describes nonverbal right brain to right brain communication, face, tone, timing as the core of attachment healing. And what we're talking about is attachment healing. And then also Porges and Deb Dana highlight the warm facial expression, prosody of voice. That's prosody of voice is like tone of voice, and gentle gesture cue safety to help regulate the nervous system. And Siegel talks about healthy one mind that integrates body, mind, and relationships. Exactly what happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to knit our story, body, and community together. Remember, Dan Siegel talks about mind in a way that makes me think he's describing God. So a couple practical right brain exercises. The eye gaze. Sit with a safe person. Gently meet eyes. Notice the impulse to look away and breathe. Name silently, I am seen and not shamed. And what I would do too is imagine myself holding Jesus's hand beside me. All right, number two, voice and worship practice. Sing or hum worship songs with gentle volume. This stimulates the social engagement system, the vagus nerve, which gives us an increasing capacity for connection. And then in worship, we are literally in love language with the Lord, between Him and us in Him. Three, scripture and breath. Choose a short verse, I will not leave you as orphans, for example, and pair each phrase with an inhale and an exhale. This links God's word with parasympathetic calming. And safe touch and posture. Put your hand on your sternum or your heart, slightly forward like a bow, bend slightly forward like a bow, and a simple prayer, Holy Spirit, reparent my body. And say it over and over like a contemplative prayer, letting all your focus be on the Lord and that He's with you. He is with you. The Lord does meet us in right brain to right brain repair. Let's end with an encounter here. I want you to imagine that you are the child in Ezekiel 12. We have an image of God finding an abandoned child in a field. He passed you by. It says, when I passed you by and saw you kicking about in your blood, and I said to you, live, and I bathed you, I clothed you, I adorned you with beauty. Beloved, picture yourself, whatever age feels unseen, and see Jesus walking toward that little child. He doesn't correct her. He cleanses her wounds with such gentleness. He covers her with His cloak or Him. And He says, oh, sweet one, I want you to live. And I speak life over you, my life. Let your adult self kneel beside Him and watch as He places this child from His arms to yours. And He wraps His arms around you and says, sweet, beloved, beloved child, let's both love this little one on the inside of you with my love. Maybe you've had in your embodiment, you've had maybe like car accidents or surgeries, or there are places in your body when you think about your body from like a 360 point of view where it just feels unsafe. A tool that you can use is to see Jesus, take Jesus back in time to where that thing happened, that surgery, that car accident. Do your, I want you to go to drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent and get the self-parenting guide, and also get Heart Journey, Book and Journal, and do the quadruple entry journaling on those places. The Lord wants to reparent your body, reparent your heart, and reparent you in a very embodied way. Your body is the Holy Spirit sanctuary. He is rewiring you from top to bottom, from fear into faith. He is rewiring the pre-verbal sense of insecurity that's been with you your entire life. I'm going to pray for you, but don't forget to get your free resources at drbarbaraministries.org/selfparent and drbarbaraministries.org/rejection. If you are a woman, I want to encourage you to join our Heart Journey group, our mentoring and community year that we have ongoing. We're still at the beginning of it, and you'd fit right in. Go to drbarbaraministries.org/experience. And we're going to be working on getting Heart Journey written so that it's for men and women, and getting that into churches in the future. Make sure that you share this episode with someone whose body still braces for danger, which is many of them, many of us, and help them to remember that Jesus is our secure attachment, and we can entrain with him. We can come to him. His nervous system is so much bigger, and we can have earned secure attachment in Christ. Lord Jesus, I lift up each person listening. I pray for your spirit to blow through each life right now. I pray, Father, for a peace that bypasses knowledge. I pray, Father, for the vibration of your spirit to conquer all fear right now. You've already done it on the cross. Let my brothers and sisters experience it now in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. I release the Holy Spirit. I release the Holy Spirit to cleanse you from fear. I thank you, God, that fear is chased away right now, and deep abiding peace and security comes in Jesus' name. All right, this week, let's all make sure that we are spending time regulating with the Father and training with the Father, like the metronomes, like the breath in the choir, attuning to him and gaining great strength, power, love, peace. And remember, your place of peace is your position of power. There's such power and authority that come from that place of peace. You know it because you've felt it before. You've experienced it. The Lord is his word, and he's a person, but he is also an experience. But it's through faith first. If you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you do that now, and that you live for him, and that you follow him, and you find a good church, and you get discipled, you get baptized, do all those great things, take your first communion. I love you. I'm with you. And I will see you in all the usual places. Make sure you're following us on YouTube. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, on TikTok, on Instagram. And we're also doing Flashback Fridays, where we're bringing out old content and that we feel like is relevant to this series. And you probably have been getting my emails. Hopefully you're on my email list. If you're not, email me. Get one of our free resources, and you'll be on my email list. And you're probably getting our podcast with our guests also talking about this theme. I love you. Mwah. So much goodness coming your way.